this may be our last chance to provide the means of saving civilization from annihilation.
There's much we can learn from each other.
One of those moments in history.
We are all together out on the internet.
Can there be a peace between us?
You were an eyewitness.
The people who grew up with the technology.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
A worldwide broadcasting system.
This is for you, for my life.
Please keep in touch.
And this is Ted Hicks from Late Night Parents. Ways to follow the show, latenightparents.com. Across from me is Richie V.
Daddy Ted. What's up, man? How's it going?
Pretty good. Life is good. On the boards, Brian Graves. Big shout out to AM 1240 WGBB, where we do it every week live. Want to thank everyone that listens to the live show, listens to our podcast, and our affiliates and friends on various community radio stations that play the show. Thank you to all. So, Richie V, it's Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day out there to all the mothers everywhere. You know how much we care about you, and we really do. We appreciate everything you do for us and our children and our children's children.
And our children's children's children.
And those who aren't our children. Those who you care for.
Yes. Those are you. I mean, those who are you know, might be deemed, where you're deemed as a guardian.
Yep.
All of that comes into, you know, into play. So I hate to go off the rails.
Uh-oh.
At the start.
Uh-oh.
But, and so how do I say this? Not to irk anyone. But let's just say you or I or someone else that we know is, who's a father.
Yeah.
But is railing on Facebook saying, you should say Happy Mother's Day to me too. Because, you know, in a month's time, we get it the other way. But I'm saying, what if we flipped it and I can't say I've seen any fathers on Facebook or any social media saying, say Happy Mother's Day to me, too.
Any single fathers. I can't say that I've ever seen that either.
But you've seen the other thing.
Oh, you're like dancing around it. I've seen the other thing.
You question yourself when you just you give it the side eye.
Well, just as you know, you don't want to irk anyone. But, I mean, yeah, there are parents on both genders,
yes,
who are single parents,
mm-hmm,
who have to play the role of the traditional mother and father. Absolutely. No question about it. You're just being a good parent, doing the thing you're supposed to do.
Yes.
And, I mean, no one really needs to get caught up in the title if they're in that situation. You are the parent for whatever reason. You're the single parent doing what you've got to do. Mothers aren't fathers. Fathers aren't mothers.
Right.
You're the parent, and you're doing what you got to do. And that's just how I see it.
I just remember a conversation that I had with someone, and they said something that I thought was profound,
mm-hmm,
because I guess I wasn't expecting it.
Okay.
But the person was a single parent. It was a mom.
Right.
And she said to me, her son was getting ready to get married and, you know, all the great things that have happened in life and everything. But she said to me, she said, Ted, the one thing I couldn't do was teach him how to be a young man.
That's right.
She said, I couldn't.
No.
We could go out to eat and I can say to him, okay, this is what, you know, when you're interacting with a woman,
mm-hmm,
you know, here's some things to expect,
right,
things like that. But she said, when she said that, I said, you know what, I give you all the credit in the world.
Right.
Because on the flip side to it is, I haven't heard any other women say that, ever.
Very few. Very few.
Yeah.
I could tell my wife and I have had some of those conversations, and she is in that camp. Like, no matter what, I mean, a mother, you know, doing the job of both parents, but you're not a father. You
right.
can do everything and be good at, you know, teaching your son proper behavior, okay. what to expect, how to interact. But there are just certain things you're not going to be able to teach in the same way.
Correct.
That the father would.
Right. And don't get me wrong, mothers are special.
Oh, absolutely.
We know.
Not taking away anything.
All that they're worth.
And let's be fair, mm-hmm. the same thing would be said if we were saying about fathers who are single fathers. They can teach either, daughters everything they need to, but you can't teach them certain things the way a mother would teach them.
Oh, that's true.
And it's not a fault. I'm going to go out and say it's just the way nature has equipped us.
I agree with you.
That's it.
I agree with you. I mean, because there's all the time where fathers are with their daughters,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to drop like breadcrumbs along the way
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, if you see this sign, run. Run the other way.
Right.
But, it's a great Mother's Day. And as I said to the missus, I said, every day is Mother's Day.
Every day is Mother's Day.
You know, and of course, I don't think they really receive that.
No.
I really don't.
They give you the side eye like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, whatever. I'm like, are there going to be some tough days? Of course.
Yes.
Are you going to have that, knucklehead son that you're going to have to sit there and repeat a few things to?
Yes.
Is that going to be highly less likely when you're dealing with your daughter? I would say yes.
Hopefully.
But I just say, I don't think parenting was ever meant to be easy.
It's like a roll of the dice, really. You don't know what you're going to get from the child.
No, you don't.
And you could have multiple kids in the same family, and every child is different.
Yes. Some in the same house.
In the same house with the same two parents.
Yes.
Created by the same two people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Raised in the same home. People are different. Personalities are different. You don't know what you're going to get.
That's true.
But yes, shout out to wonderful Mrs. Hicks. Happy Mother's Day to you and Linda, where you're out there.
Mrs. Valdez.
She's out with her mom right now.
All right.
In Georgia. They're hanging out together.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
They're down there. So happy Mother's Day to the both of you.
That's great. Hey, so since we're keeping in the theme of Mother's Day, how appropriate would it be for Cersei to get it to really...
If tonight is the end of Cersei night.
If tonight is the end, how appropriate would that be?
And there would be some poetic justice there for sure, but I don't think it happens tonight. I mean, really, there's no reason for me to say why not, right?
Right.
Except that there's still, as we're seeing this, there's two full episodes left.
Okay.
Of this one's an hour and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next one is as well. The next one might be a little shorter. Something. I'm not certain. But either way, there's no more than 3 hours worth of TV left.
Right.
Right.
I think they're roughly 78 to 79
both
minutes.
Of them. I mean, so I think tonight we get the major battles.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have the battle for King's Landing, however that shapes up in all its glory.
Okay.
I think it's safe to say some major characters have to be resolved one way or another tonight.
Okay.
But next week, I think it's let's get those last interpersonal big storylines, the Cersei storylines, the Arya storylines. Sansa, let's see what happens with the individuals. And I don't know, I keep thinking that at the very end, the last scene is like at some point in the future looking back, and either Sam is writing his book, because I think Sam's got to live so he can write the story.
Gotcha.
I think we're looking back at the end of it somehow on lives and maybe on statues underneath Winterfell in the crypts of those who have passed away from these battles which we witness. Something like that goes on. But I don't think anyone wants to see Cersei walk away.
No.
Which is probably means it's going to happen.
I think Cersei has to get dealt with.
Yes.
And then we can see Daenerys and Sansa.
And see what happens with them. You think they're trying? I don't think that's going to turn into anything.
No?
No, I
think
Arya's
going to take care of her.
Arya take care of Daenerys. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Jon would never forgive that.
Yeah.
But he's not. I don't think John lives to tell the tale anyway.
No.
By the end of next season, next episode, rather.
No,
he's not around for it. I don't think Daenerys is around either.
Mm-mm.
At the end of the last episode, it's going to be interesting. The Hound of Clegane, the Hound of the Mountain. Who do you go for? When that battle comes, if they don't give us that battle, that's going to be a problem. So,
Mountain.
You go Mountain. Okay.
We'll see.
So. Mountain takes Hound. Arya takes Mountain. Checkmate.
Go through a couple of rapid fire items. We didn't get to this last week.
And I know you mentioned it briefly for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, we didn't get to
items.
Just a couple of items, but ESPN the magazine, like the print edition,
gone.
No more. I mean, is everything else? It's.
So wait, here's the question. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
So then that answers it.
I'm not, but I'm just thinking, like, everything's digital.
Everything is digital.
Everything's going to be wrapped into that ESPN Plus type subscription.
Probably. I mean, let's face it. It's what real purpose is there in the sports world, especially for a print magazine these days? I mean, and you got to count in publishing expenses, distribution expenses. It's not like you can't get the photography, you can't get the images now online just as easy in some
places
more efficiently. The editorial content, same thing, can be right on the ESPN Online magazine and the websites and everything else. Besides having something to put in your dentist's office on the table and your doctor's office on the table,
yeah.
Why? And it's harder as far as for them distribution. It's a lot harder for people to get the magazine than it is to get online to see the content.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You know?
I guess you're right. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just some things I can't let go of as when I was a kid.
Sure.
Certain subscriptions that you would be looking forward to. Like
Sports Illustrated.
Your Sports Illustrated every week, you know, right. It was coming on around about Wednesday.
Right.
You knew they weren't going to be reporting sports scores,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be full pieces.
Right.
But...
You didn't have online back then.
No, you didn't have online back then.
So right now, if today, let's just say,
mm-hmm.
and were you a subscriber to ESPN the magazine?
My subscription just ended.
Like how just is just?
I would say within the last 3 months. And
we've
been going back and forth.
Okay. So if there was something you wanted to read. I
was waiting for that next to zero price to come in to say,
take it for free because you're subscribed to something else.
Right.
What would you go for first? If you just were interested in something, would you go online and just ESPN.com real quick? Or would you go find a magazine, pick it up, and read it? And if you did pick up the magazine, would you then go back online anyway to read some more?
A little bit of both because in our lives it's a little bit different because I like to have a magazine while I'm on the train commuting and reading, and you can actually have the, you know, the periodical in your hands, mm-hmm. and you start to mark it up and everything else like that.
Okay.
And then, I mean, so I guess a little bit more for me because like, oh, okay, hey, I'm going to do this quick sports pod with someone in Tennessee or in Florida or whatever like that. And some of the things that I've picked up mm-hmm. from the magazine,
mm-hmm.
not to say you can't pick it up from a digital, you know, subscription or issue, but it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of like, I heard a few weeks ago, Ebony.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
And I'm like, geez.
But you wonder if that is just a subscribership issue overall.
Oh, probably.
You know, I can't say he has as large of an online presence.
Oh, no. Probably not.
You know.
I mean, I'm just saying, from that, I mean, ESPN, the first issue was published 1998.
20 years.
So that was a good run.
Right, 20. But that's, when you think of, that's a good run, but for me in the sports world, that seems kind of short.
Of course.
You know?
Course, but
and again, they got caught in media. They got caught with the digital age.
Yeah,
you know, that's a curiosity. How many in the last 10 years? How many new magazines have started.
Hmm.
That would just be something to look into, and how many of them are still around, you know, besides those that are specialty niche publications.
Because, I mean, and like I said, I was just having a conversation on this before about print media.
Yep.
How it continues to dry up.
Yep.
The lack of jobs for the journalists.
Mm-hmm.
How the journalists compete with bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
How the journalists are also, whether in print media or in broadcast, or competing with ex-athletes.
Yes. Right.
You know, it's to a point where, and I've got a topic that I want us to talk about next time we're both live,
mm-hmm.
and it talked about some of these tech companies, and that they're moving away, or they're allowing, because, you know, at one point it was like, oh, you must have a college degree to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Now it's like, you can have that, or if you have X, Y, Z experience.
Experience, yep.
But, I just think about these type of, you know, it's ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Right.
I mean, they're getting money from Disney. So there's like no budget.
They got the money.
There's no budget. It's a blank check.
Right.
And you see their magazine is just, the print version of it is shutting down.
I'm going to assume that over the years, less and less pages, less and less advertisers.
Yes. It went from, I'm not going to say, man, it shrunk to 8x10. Like, you remember, it used to be like
11x14, yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, remember with the Vibe? And the Vibe used to be supersized.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's
started shrinking.
Right. And then you blink your eyes, it's the size of the Jet magazine.
Yep.
And you're like, huh? I don't know. Hey, the Obamas announced their first slate of shows for Netflix. It says the slate includes an adaptation of Michael Lewis's book, The Fifth Risk, as well as that documentary about the GM factory. Rich, question to you.
Yes.
Super polarizing just because of the last name, where people will not even consider looking at whatever product is put out because of politics, or not?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, you have to rule out the fringe of either side, of course, because they, you know, the fringe side would do something like that, say, oh, their name's behind it, I'm not going to get near it.
I'm not subscribing.
But I think that will really just be the fringe in this case.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they're putting their name behind it. They're not acting in it or anything like that.
No.
It's production quality.
It's a $60 million deal that they're handing out to everyone.
They're putting it out. I don't see. I think this is actually more, you know, a valid play by Netflix. This is how you get attention. This is how you get more people interested, and you get subscribers out of the deal. So, no. And if they want to do this more in the future, good for them. Why not?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. You kind of look at Netflix, and you look at the Apple Plus, or what they're going to be doing, and, you know, the whole Oprah and all that other stuff, and the only thing I see is my subscription going up.
Right. That's all that's happening.
That's all that's happening.
Now, I know you're a Netflix subscriber. You're not a Hulu subscriber.
No, I'm not a Hulu subscriber.
Neither am I. Netflix is the only, again, not counting TV cable subscriptions, which, you know, give me the included online programming, the HBO On Goes and, you know, all those.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is the only one.
Right.
That's it. That's the only one I subscribe to.
Right.
And it's good enough for me.
By default, you subscribe to Amazon.
Well, yes, through Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
But
I
don't subscribe to Prime because of Amazon Video.
Right.
And I use it very little when I think about it.
They got a couple of good shows.
No,
I mean, I told you, The Grand Tour.
I like that show. You know I like that show.
I know you would like it. Being the car and the automobile enthusiast that you are.
I enjoy the banter. I enjoy the reviews.
Yes.
I'd love to get on that show one day.
Oh, my goodness. So when I watch their show, I kind of think of us in front of a studio audience.
Yes.
and just hamming it up.
Yes, that's all they do.
I mean, it's a great show. It's a huge... I can only imagine the budget.
Well, remember, I mean, that was a huge show in Europe.
Right.
For years.
Right.
And, you know, halfway shut down, the change in personalities, mm-hmm. and they brought it over, and they're making it work.
They're making it work for Amazon. But I'm just saying, they spare no expense.
No expense. They're all over the world. They've got all the vehicles. They get the names. Crazy. They get celebrities. Must be nice.
Yeah. You know, it allows you to dream. I don't know if you have any information on this. Woodstock 50 is on life support.
I heard about it. That one of the main promoters is pulling out.
Mm.
That they're like, nah, we're not doing this. But another one says it's still going to go on. The show will still go on. Someone is saying, I don't know. I'm sure it's a generational thing.
Okay.
Me, I say, why bother?
Okay.
That's just me. I mean, also, it seems like, unless they're trying to be another, be the East Coast version of, like, Coachella.
Okay.
Or something like that, which, okay, draw the names, get the crowds. I have no idea who was on the lineup for this. But I'm thinking it must not have been huge, huge names, because they wouldn't be saying they went up and didn't pull out of it so quickly. How about you? Any idea who was supposed to be in it?
I have no idea.
Performers?
No, none at all. And I'm just like, it's on life support. I'm like, well, you know, something that's a 50th anniversary, you would think it would be just the opposite.
Right. You'd think there would be some more excitement. But
right.
That generation, they're a little too old for it now. To be there. I think it's still enjoy the music. Anyone can enjoy music, but a little old to be there.
Okay.
And I always kind of got the impression that it was like lightning struck. Everything just worked out.
Right.
The way it did for the original Woodstock, even though there were like a lot of negative issues surrounding those performances in that 3 days, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to put something like that together again in the same method.
Okay.
And expect it to go.
It's a different world. Well. It's a different world.
I mean, you know, doing a little research, Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, The Killers, big names.
Okay.
Were slated to perform.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Well, we'll follow up on it. We'll follow up. Topic we've been talking about for about 2 years, and we kept mentioning Sinclair Broadcasting. Just the group, just the fact of them having the news side, of them having the sports side, them purchasing those regional sports networks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny take because they spend almost $10 billion on 21 channels, linear channels that are losing subscribers by the day. I mean,
right.
every quarter, we hear about, oh, so-and-so and DirecTV just lost 275,000 people.
Right.
And these are just people that are just like, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. Give me a streaming service and let me go.
So, this was specifically sports networks that they picked up?
Specifically sports networks. It was Fox Sports Networks that was part of the Disney deal.
Okay.
Disney couldn't own them because they already had ESPN, and it would appear to be a monopoly. So, you know, Department of Justice said, okay, you got to sell this.
So this was possibly a little less Sinclair going out and looking versus Disney had to put up to sell. And Sinclair taking advantage of the sale.
Totally. Totally. A whole bunch of people that were interested in them. None of the real people that were interested were like the tech giants or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
And I think we talked about maybe 2 or 3 months ago about the Yes Network.
Yes. Yep.
That was like the crown jewel. That was because it's the Yankees.
But that was part of the sale?
That was not part of the sale.
I was about to say.
That was not part of the sale.
Ah.
But it's ironic because it wasn't a part of the sale, but there was another sale strictly for the Yes Network, which was, I think, just shy of $4 billion. So the Yankees put together some partners and stuff. So it's all about live sports. Because when you think about it, you're like, oh, what drives ratings?
Right.
It seems like scripted TV on the regular networks. You know, most of the, I guess, the creators are going to the streaming services. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good deal until the current licensing deal. How do I say this? Ends.
Okay.
Because with these 21 networks, it represents about between MLB, NHL, and NBA, about 60 or so teams.
A lot of representation.
It's a lot of representation. But here's the thing that you got to remember, that even though it has the representation, some of these deals are going to come to an end. And you find out more and more and more nowadays that people are, and teams are like, hey, I want to run my own network, mm-hmm. because I want to generate that own revenue and keep it in-house rather than sourcing it out to XYZ Network.
Right.
So I'm thinking it's a good deal now. When we check back in 4 or 5 years, let's see how many of those teams still exist.
Right.
That are still existing and working in agreement like that. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm kind of stuck.
Okay.
It's
something else. Well, sports related.
Because uh-huh.
you're the big Islander fan.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me something.
Yeah.
You know where this is going.
Yeah.
So we have the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
And the Islanders now have rebuilt their original Long Island home.
Yes. Yeah, no.
Okay. Go ahead. Explain it to me. Because I see the Islanders at Barclays, and I see the Islanders out playing back on Long Island. Yeah, where's home? Where did they play?
It's messy. It's really messy because of, you can thank Long Island politics.
Yeah.
Thankfully, none of them are still in office.
So what happens now?
So what happens now is carnage, where you reface that Nassau Coliseum.
Yep.
You shrunk the seats.
Yep.
You lost 5,000 seats.
You built a beautiful stadium.
It's, oh, the venue is great.
Yes.
But you're missing 5,000 seats.
Right.
So you can barely get 13,900.
That small now?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what you can get in there. Packed to right. capacity.
Right.
So they're stuck right in the middle where they're until their new stadium, until ground is broken.
At Belmont.
20 games each at Brooklyn.
Yep.
And at the Coliseum. And I will tell you this much. People won't blame, you know, people can blame or, hey, you know what? That first series, the Islanders and Penguins.
Yep.
And they had it at Nassau Coliseum.
At Nassau Coliseum,
and it was
right.
rocking.
It
was
had
so
to be.
Loud every night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got two games. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. They then advanced to the next series,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing at Barclays, and it's
and
a
it
lot
got
less.
Swept.
And it got swept. So they did the sweeping, and then they got swept.
Yep.
So they've got a lot of work in front of them. Because, number one, they've got to break ground on that new arena.
Right.
So that's number one. It's a unique situation, Rich, because so you have the Islanders. You have them at Belmont, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ready to break ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When I tell you who's also helping them out with funding the new arena, you're going to be like, hmm? James Dolan, who owns the Rangers and Knicks.
Yeah. Okay.
The Wilpons, who own the Mets. You know, it seems like
unless that's the plan. All the local sports teams, all the majors, except the Yankees.
I think they're doing it because they don't want them to leave.
That's
they mean more
too.
To Long Island than to have them to leave.
That makes total sense.
Because, I mean, clearly, they could show up in Hartford.
Right.
They could show up in Kansas City. They could show up in Quebec.
Right. Oh, sure.
I mean, these are places where stadiums are already built,
right,
are ready to rock and roll, right,
and they can have and can support,
yes,
an NHL team,
right?
Yeah.
So it's
going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. I don't know.
So now, the next season, is it back to Barclays?
It's back to Barclays and back to...
So it's split again. You said 2020.
Like the first half of the season,
yep,
is like primarily at Barclays.
Okay.
And the second half is primarily...
Okay.
You know, and in between, you have games that are sprinkled.
Right.
In between with back and forth.
Right.
So, I mean, how do you get rhythm? How do you get the fan support?
You don't, because let's face it. I mean, granted, Barclays is easy enough to get to from Long Island.
Yes, it is.
You know,
it is.
Maybe even in some respects easier.
True, true.
You know, a little more time, but, you know, but it's different. It's Long Island. It's still the New York Islanders.
Yeah, I know.
Playing
I
in know. Brooklyn. Nothing against Brooklyn. Nothing at all. That's, you know, that's like... the Mets playing at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. That was like, I think it was last year. The Yankees had to play a couple of games at Citi Field.
Mm-hmm.
And they only sold tickets for field level.
Right.
And one of our colleagues went and was just like, it was just weird.
Right.
It was weird.
I'm not here. It's not supposed to be here.
Right. So, I mean, we'll see.
Right.
We'll see. So this is Rich and Ted. This is Late Night Parents. Ways to follow the show, latenightparents.com. Rich, I don't know if you've seen 13 Reasons Why.
I did. It was a good show.
Season 1? Season
2? Yeah, season 1. I stopped at season 1. I doubt I'll go to season 2.
You said you doubt if
I doubt it. I doubt I will. Season 1 wrapped it up. That was enough. Right. You know. It was effective. It was good storytelling.
And the question came up, and a lot of people have been talking, because it always drums up this type of talk. I mean, series 3 mm-hmm. is about to come out soon.
Okay. Did you watch any of it?
Season 1. And I was like, okay, I've had enough. I don't want to see any more of this.
I thought it wrapped it up well, and it, you know, it seemed like a good story to present. At, you know, for what the topic was, but I think what you're going for. So it seems like suicide, deaths by suicides over the 9 month period after the release of 13 Reasons, there were about 200 more than they were expected over the time frame.
Yeah.
And they're wondering if there's some correlation between the show and the increase in suicides.
I mean, I think it comes down to when the season, when this the series itself was initially announced,
mm-hmm.
and season 1 dropped, and the question was, does it glorify
right.
teen suicide?
Right.
And there was a lot of pushback, because I remember at my son's school, there was a note that went out to the parents about, hey, if you're allowing your son or daughter to watch 13 Reasons Why, here's some of the conversations that you should be having with
okay.
them.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know it was that, you know, and
that deep, right?
That made me watch the show.
Right.
I mean, it's when you see some of these numbers and, you know, and different studies that were funded by National Institute of Health, you have to question why, you know, there were more deaths that by suicide occurred in that April than any other April in the last 9 years.
Right. And interestingly enough, it says the numbers were mostly among teenage boys.
Right.
You know, you can do all sorts of speculation there, why as to why. But then, on the flip side, you know, as part of the story, they had also done a study at the University of Pennsylvania, and they said that people who watched all of the show and saw the negative outcomes were actually less at risk for
okay.
future suicide attempts, things like that. So is this a case of skewing data however you want to skew it? Is it an anomaly? Is there something to it? And, you know, we need to look forward to it or look deeper into it and see what the situation is.
I would say probably so, but I think what would be important is if you know that any of your teenage, you know, sons or daughters are actually watching this or having conversations about this, I think you should be in the know too.
Right, absolutely.
And I think that's one of the main problems with that we've run into in speaking with some of the parents that we've dealt with over the years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and most of them weren't in the know,
right?
Or you run into the parent that, hey, I'm not technical, but my child was doing X, Y, Z.
Right.
You know, we're not asking you to say, hey, you need to have an account on TikTok.
But monitor everything.
But you should at least be in the know when these type of shows come on. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that was good on the part of your son's school to make that announcement.
Oh, I appreciated it.
Oh, really?
I really did. It was just like, hey, this is what's happening, just in case if you guys aren't in the know.
Right.
And here's, you know, here's a couple of websites that we're going to that answers some additional questions mm-hmm. about it. And if we do need to get together to have a discussion amongst parents, feel free to reach out to, you know, this email account, and right. we'll put something together at the school. And I was like, whoa.
Wow, that's good. That's really good.
You know, I don't think you find a lot of schools like that are prepared and, I guess, mm-hmm. progressive enough, you know, and ready to deal with the stuff. But like I said, I mean, teen suicide is teen suicide.
Right. We all have to care about that. And we'll do the PSA here just because it seems appropriate. If anyone out there is having any issues or thinking about it or wants more information, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, give them a call, 1-800-273-8255, or go to the visit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention website at AFSP. That's A as in A, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, P as in Peter, .org, AFSP.org. If you're having any issues, whatever, call that number, 800-273-8255.
So you are an Android person.
I'm a both person, but yes, I am more a core Android person still.
So Google is allowing people to pay in cash and local stores for their Android apps?
But isn't this mostly in other countries?
Yes.
So if where people don't have credit cards as
okay.
readily available,
okay.
I believe it's in India
that yes.
this is very predominant.
Yes.
It's a purchase, right? So, I mean, it's for us, again, it sounds kind of weird and strange to us because it's go online, click, buy, your account's already associated with your account. It goes to your credit card or your debit card or whatever, and that's it. But if you can only pay cash, that's interesting.
Right.
I'll just say that.
But it also does something for, because I'm thinking processes like this
mm-hmm.
that are happening, whether, you know, it's happening in India or happening somewhere else, I'm thinking it's bound to come here too, because it's kind of like, hey, everyone wants an iPhone, right?
Right.
Everyone, for the most part, might not be able to pay $1,100 or $1,200 or
right.
whatever like that. So, you know, many, many moons ago, we were talking about, you know, hey, what about, you know, the iPhones for mm-hmm. the urban areas?
Mm-hmm.
And then we started seeing those 5Cs and all yep. this other stuff.
Yep.
Prepaid iPhones.
Prepaid iPhones. Yeah, right. Well, you know, with the app situation, I think it's actually, in some ways, it's already here. Because just go into your local convenience store,
mm-hmm.
and you can get the gift card for the Google Play Store
Correct.
Or iTunes Store.
Correct.
So you're paying cash for your apps there. It's just not the direct transfer.
Not that way. You know, the right. standard way where, you know, it's your debit card or your credit
right.
card with your name on it.
Right.
Because I think in the end, all they care about is
Getting paid.
That's
all there is to it. And I'm sure they actually like the cards more because you buy a $10 card and you buy $8 worth of apps and
right.
$2 sits there forever
right.
and ever until you forget about it. So
I mean, I just think it's smarter to make it easier for people in countries that they don't use credit cards or they don't use the form of payment that, you know, I mean, we're edging closer and closer and closer to a cashless society.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, some of these stadiums that you go into, Rich, you've got to put your cash on a card.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want, I guess, their, you know, workers or...
They don't want the workers to play with cash. Then there's a whole lot less chance of you know, burglary, a theft attempt.
Right.
You know, it's all online. No cash. It's a lot safer. Hey, I went to my bagel shop this morning and used my debit card to pay for a bagel and a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but I don't see a problem with that.
There is no problem with it. You know, let them use debit so that they don't get hit with a credit card fee.
Right, right.
And they, my $5.50, and that was the end of it.
Like I said, I don't see a problem with that. Wow. All right. So I will say this much. I know you're going to be...
I'll be out of town.
Virtual. So I think we may be doing some recorded shows or...
We'll see. Who knows? Maybe I'm not going to rule out next Sunday.
Okay.
Why not?
All right.
You may end up just having a crying baby in the background. You never know. That'll be her radio debut.
Got it. I know this much that... I don't think. I mean, we'll play it by ear because I can see you, arm full, on the phone.
Well, of course.
And just
I'll have
like
my headphones on. I'll have both hands free. I'll have headset on, microphone hanging down by my side.
Oh my goodness!
Talk and feed and talk and burp, and talk and let her sleep in my arms.
That's good. that is
if
good.
She's here.
If she's here,
right?
Who did I have to shout out? I wanted to shout out Lucy Loud.
Who is Lucy Loud?
Lucy Loud has put together some smart glasses.
Hmm, okay.
Who is promoting it? Richard Sherman, who used to play for the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
He's now for the 49ers. He's promoting it. I received a pair of glasses yesterday.
Okay.
Very interesting. When you get back, I want you to try this out.
Give them a demo, okay.
Total Bluetooth.
Right.
You connect it, right. 1, 2, 3, easy, to your mobile phone or your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And plays music.
Okay. Sounds good?
Sounds very good.
Okay.
Phone calls, not as much.
Interesting.
Yeah. Phone calls, not as much. And I was wondering, I was like, what am I doing here?
Right.
Because music was great.
Okay.
Phone call was kind of iffy.
Okay.
It sounded, you know, kind of like, sounded like I was on speakerphone.
Hmm. All right.
Like that clearness where right. when you're on your iPhone or you're on your Samsung.
Right.
Wasn't there.
What about the person on the other end? How did you sound to them? Or do you know?
I asked them, mm-hmm. and they said, yeah, you sound clear.
All right. Okay.
You sound clear. So I want to kick the tires on it a little bit more. So that's Lucy Loud. Want to give them a big shout out. You mentioned over the past couple of weeks the stuff with Ewen. Let's say thank you, guys. Something going to be testing the Ghost Sun solar powered cooler. No ice required.
Hmm.
Waiting for that to come in.
What's the capacity on it? Like a 6-pack or a couple of 6-packs?
Yeah, it's like a couple of 6-packs.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's a decent size. And they said it's even more since you don't have to include the ice.
Right.
So it's I'll wait until we actually see it
mm-hmm.
in action. I mean, you know what's so funny is like years ago we used to be able to take this stuff. It's like nowadays, like when you go to these venues,
yeah,
you get your little clear bag, and that's about
and that's
it.
That's all you get.
And so that's all you get.
Isn't it Citi Field, I believe it was, that said no more backpacks?
Yes, no more backpacks. Isn't that something? It was this week.
Right.
So, no more
like
backpacks.
You said, clear, your clear plastic bag with your women little pocketbook. Guys, just put your wallet in your pocket.
That's it.
Empty-handed, basically.
I don't know if I like this or not, but, I mean, I guess, hey, it should shorten the lines.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's true. You would hope they're still going to have to scan people.
Right.
But at least you won't be checking checking some bags, but not checking backpacks. So, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or just go out there and tailgate.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, you go out there, you tailgate, you have a good time, and call it a day. Because it just seems like nowadays they're making this stuff so much harder and harder and harder. Big shout out to City Harvest for the Skip Lunch Fight Hunger campaign. It's going to start this week. And they're looking to raise $1.1 million to help feed 50,000 kids this summer.
Okay.
So wanted to give them a big shout out.
They do a lot of services, volunteer services in the city. We were looking at potentially doing some volunteer work with them through the job.
Oh, okay.
As one of the sites and organizers we were evaluating. So, you know, we may be able to put something together with them.
Oh, cool. Cool. This week was Teacher Appreciation Week, and I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday was Teacher Appreciation Day. So we had put something up on the site for Teacher Appreciation Week. I mean, I like to believe that teachers do feel that they're appreciated.
They should. I mean, considering that they're taking care of our children, right, raising our kids, it always seems to be a thankless job. And an underpaid job.
Yeah.
For what they do.
Kind of, you put it also there with a police officer.
Yeah.
You know.
When you get out to certain areas, I mean, cops everywhere don't make the kind of money they do in Long Island.
It's true.
A whole lot less. Not putting Long Island cops on blast. You guys are getting paid what you deserve. I think the rest of the country needs to step it up.
One of my buddies used to say, 40 in a vest.
40 in a vest. Wow.
$40,000
and a vest.
He's like, that's what you get.
Virginia?
Yes.
Yeah, see? But they also don't get some of the training and things like that that the officers up here do.
Did you get a chance to see the Spider-Man From Home trailer?
No. Oh, wait. Yes. When I saw Endgame. That was one of the previews. I caught the very end of that one.
Oh, okay.
So that looks interesting.
Yeah, it does.
Mysterio.
It does.
On the good side.
On the
I
good
can't
side.
Wrap my head around that one.
There's got to be a
twist.
I'm not getting
at the end of it.
That. Not getting a good feeling about that. Uber and Lyft.
What's the deal? I saw something.
They
in the
had
news.
A plane strike. This past week,
right,
between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern.
How did that work out?
I think they did it before they went IPO. I mean, I don't think it affected their IPO. The IPO, I mean.
Yeah, but, well, shares of both stocks have dropped.
Yeah.
But that's typical.
It's typical.
I mean, IPO goes out. The insiders all get to buy a whole bunch. It goes up a few bucks. A week later, they all sell. Price drops. Then it stabilizes and goes back up over time.
Right.
It's a valid stock.
Right.
So I think now's the time to buy.
It's $41.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, in the 40s.
You know, but it's funny, you know, the stuff with Uber, because I took an Uber for the first time.
Yeah. I've only taken it like twice, but go ahead.
Took an Uber for the first time in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
To the airport,
mm-hmm.
To and from. Two different conversations with
right.
Two different people.
Right.
And you can see they were in two different places in their life. Where one, Uber was to supplement what this gentleman was doing.
Okay.
And I think for that, it's probably a great job.
Right. And it's not your primary source of income. It's
right.
Extra money for
right.
The most part. Not dependent upon it. Okay.
And that gentleman, he's primarily dealing in emergency management, and he was doing the Uber on the side when he could.
Okay.
Okay. The second gentleman that took me back to the airport to bring me to New York.
Right.
It was his primary, Rich.
Okay.
Very jaded, very jaded conversation where he said to me, Uber is evil.
Really?
Yes.
Wait. One question.
Yes.
Did he still get the 5-star review?
I still gave him the 5-star review. I gave him a tip outside of the app.
Oh, you're a good guy.
And I just said to him, I'm not sure what's going on with you, buddy.
Right, right.
But I hope the best for you.
There you go. Yeah.
He was just like, there's so many things they can do so much better with this company. And yada, yada, yada. Right. I was just railing on it. I'm like, listen, just keep your eye on the road.
Please.
And so I can get out of this place.
Huh.
I don't know. I'm just... Any conglomerate, okay, you know, the workers are always going to say, oh, they're trying to hold us down, and they're not doing this, and they're not doing that. You're independent contractor.
Right. And see, there's a part of me...
You're 1099.
In any of those situations... There's a part of me that says you should have known what you were getting into when you signed up for to be whatever part of whatever service.
Correct.
You can't start complaining if what's written down comes to pass. Or if you didn't read it and you ignored it and you didn't look at the fine print, that might not have been so fine.
But no one twisted your arm to start driving... An Uber or a Lyft.
Right. Well, that you don't know. That, you know, that could be someone who is really in a situation. They need some money, and that's the easiest way to make some. Got a car.
So you think Uber or Lyft twisted their arm to say, you must drive for this corporation?
No, not at all. But maybe that was the easiest thing to get into on a quick turnaround. But that's interesting. I would think that, you know, different markets would have different results, different stories from their drivers.
Yeah,
you just assume New York, they're going to be busy all the time.
Oh, totally.
And that's what it seems like, you know, those who talk about it. Yep, always working, always steady.
Always.
Making money.
You do it as long as you want to do it, and then you just say, boop.
Yep, turn me off. I'm done.
I'm done for the day.
Right.
Or I'm done for the next couple of hours.
Right.
But I think, and I didn't have the guts to tell the young man that, you know, this is, like I said, to supplement your salary or your wages or whatever else you're doing, you know, and because he was giving me the whole rundown and he showed me the bottle that he keeps in his car for, I guess, when he has to urinate or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just like, where are we going with this conversation?
Going to McDonald's. You can stop for 2 minutes.
He's just like, no, I must go back and forth and back and forth. And I think they should just be doing, you know, so much more. And I'm like, whatever.
Please keep your eyes on the road.
Please keep your eyes
on the
road.
Steering wheel. And I was, be a mint.
That's it.
Well, whoever you are, I hope you get better.
I hope so, too. You know, because like I said, it's Florida. It's rough.
Yeah.
You know, it's hot weather out there. I don't know. It's just how I feel sometimes.
You would get that one, though.
Of course I'm going to get it. Of course. And I was just like, dude, please. I don't know about your plate.
What's going on with life? It is what it is.
I need to catch this flight.
Right. Please get us there. Alive.
And that was really it. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, last week, did you go to a Microsoft event? Or did you cancel out on that one at the last minute?
I canceled out on it at the last minute. Something came up at work, and I had to bail. And then Thursday night, there was an event that I was supposed to go to, and I bailed also.
You bailed on it? Oh, okay.
I bailed also on it. So last week, there were 3 events I had to go to, or I was slated to go to, bailed on all 3 of them.
Now you have one tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes. Not bailing on that one.
Not bailing on that one. It's Okta. It's going to be great. Spend the day with Okta. Learn all about all the, you know, their products and suites and everything else like that.
Single sign-on, logins, apps, interfaces.
It's going to be great. Thursday I bailed on because my daughter was, her school had the honor, National Honor Society. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, okay, this event or...
Or daughter's induction.
Daughter's induction, which was a total of 30 minutes.
Of course.
We were out the door.
You could have gone back to the event.
If it wasn't in the city.
Right.
I'm telling you. I'm like, oh.
But she appreciated having dad there.
Oh, yeah. We went to dinner after and everything was like that. I was like, all right. So you good?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, all right. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
You know? But other than that, so next week you're going to be remote.
Next week, remote.
Etherville, USA. We'll play it by ear.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, right now, I'm thinking I'll be, unless we're out to dinner or something like that. You know,
right.
We'll see what happens, but chances are.
And there's a time difference down there.
But, yep. It's only 6 o'clock.
Right. Things are always bigger.
Yeah, there it is, Texas.
Other than that, I think we're ready to close this thing up.
That's it.
All right.
I got nothing else. Everyone, thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll catch you next time. And I'm still Late Night Rich.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.